Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, there was a story at KMOX.com earlier. St. Louis MLS Stadium naming rights, jersey logo available. How do you not have enterprise with the naming rights? I mean, if they're putting up all this money to bring the team in, you think that naming rights would be part of the deal for them to put this money up, right? I guess if they're owning the team, it's a completely different thing, but you think they would have first dibs at it. You see that, you know, it's pretty frequent. You know, in Detroit, you had Mike Ilitch, and when they built the new Red Wings Stadium, it was Little Caesars Stadium, and, you know, of course, Mike Ilitch also owned Little Caesars Pizza. And yeah, I think that's pretty common. I think when you have an owner, like Gilbert is with Quicken Loans, and he also owns the Cavaliers, so it's Quicken Loans Arena. I don't see that being all that out of the question that you would see Enterprise also getting the naming rights for the stadium. But the question is the naming rights for the jersey logo. A lot of people are wondering because you don't exactly know who that's going to be. Do you have any suggestions who you would like to see? Maybe a St. Louis company? 314-436-7900. You can call or text. Or 800-925-1120. Michael Calhoun here at KMOX talked to sports marketing consultant Doug Turfer about who would be a good fit. And that's in the article there. So they use Seattle, for example. Very popular up there, this MLS soccer team. So Microsoft's Xbox, that's who's on the Seattle Sounders jersey. In Minneapolis, the hometown Target bullseye is right there. So this is what some people are suggesting. And this is actually pretty funny. Here in St. Louis, it's called the St. Louis Bread Co., but nationwide, it's called Panera. When I moved here, I looked at the logo, and it's like, wow, that's the same font. That looks like Panera, but it says St. Louis Bread Co. on it. So then you find out it's just, you know, it started here, and then when it expanded, they changed the name, but they kept the same names here in the area. So I get it. I totally understand. Someone said the home jerseys would say St. Louis Bread Co., and the away jerseys would say Panera. That is an awesome idea. I think that's hilarious. Other people said if they got a sponsor or a partner that wasn't based in St. Louis, I think that shows people still see St. Louis as a real opportunity. So it could be a strength, the power play type of deal to pull one of those things out. Here's a thread I saw online in a St. Louis thread over on Reddit. So they said Square would be a good one. Energizer, Twitter. Couple ideas. Purina would be an awesome one. I would love to see Purina. Stiefel names a lot. I mean, they have a lot of great naming rights already in the area. They have the Stiefel Theater. Even here, Stiefel sponsors the stock market updates here on KMOX, and they've sponsored other things too. So, I mean, I could see them. It sounds like they have the resources to do that. Edward Jones, Wells Fargo, Boeing, Emerson and Bayer. Well, that'd be interesting. I don't think you'd see an Enterprise or Worldwide Technologies to be the sponsor on the jersey. That's more going to be the naming rights deal. Monsanto would be interesting, too. One person even wrote, Amazon throws us a sponsorship as a consolation prize. We don't want Amazon sponsoring that. What would you like to see? I mean, if you were to come up with a sponsor, and I wonder how much it would cost to get a sponsor. Like, if KMOX wanted to be the sponsor of it, how much would you think it would cost? Obviously, KMOX wouldn't be able to put that money forward, mostly because normally you want to look at brands that could sell nationally. And yes, KMOX is very popular here regionally, but, you know, when they go out and play Seattle, no one's going to be able to recognize a KMOX. They should. I don't see why they wouldn't, but, you know, you normally want those things. I always wondered, though, I mean, how much is it? $1 million? Is it $5 million a year? $10 million a year? How much would it cost to sponsor the front of the jersey? I don't know if I've ever seen that in the article. And how hard is it to find a sponsor to do something like that? What a great opportunity for a local company. Let's say it is Panera, or let's say it is Purina, or something like that. A huge opportunity, because if they do name the next franchise, the MLS team here in St. Louis, what would happen? Okay, you got a lot of support. No one has a jersey because they haven't created them yet. You're going to get tens of thousands of jerseys sold in the region because just the support the team type of philosophy. And a whole group of people are just going to automatically buy your logo on the front. It's guaranteed there's going to be a big influx of these jerseys sold. It's not like a situation where it's going from one team to another and a bunch of people already have jerseys and they're like, ah, you know, I already have a jersey. I don't want to buy another one. This is one where they'd have to buy it from scratch and your logo would be right there. What a huge opportunity there. So if you're thinking about doing something like that, let's get Purina on there. That would be awesome. Love to see Purina on there. If you can put a sponsored logo on there, and if you're an MLS fan, who would you like to see representing? Who would you like to see right on front of that jersey? If you got insights into that, that'd be good too. You know, coming up, we interviewed AccuWeather earlier in the show. I think I'm going to replay that interview because AccuWeather was breaking down some of the weather that we're going to see pushing through the region here. And I got a couple of stories about artificial intelligence. Did you know there's software out there that could predict if you're going to commit a crime? This Minority Report stuff, it's there. It's here. It's actually something they're implementing in China right now. We'll talk about that too coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. 1:16 in the morning, broadcasting from border to border, wherever you are. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, download the podcast, KMOX.com/overnight. You can also find it on your favorite podcast app. Oh, looks like Kevin over in Wright City, you have an idea for that sponsorship. They're trying to figure it out. Maybe they're listening. So what's going on?
I hope they are, and I hope they're like as goofy as I am. But I thought if Purina would join forces with Oscar Mayer, and that way they could be the Purina-wina. And, you know, they could put cute little dogs on the uniforms, and everybody would go out and buy little Purina-wina sweaters for their dachshunds. And, you know, they'd sell more dog food, and, yeah, it's all good.
So I think the logo would be like a wiener dog.
Yeah.
That would be a fascinating team logo. I bet you'd sell a lot. You had a jersey with a wiener dog on it.
All the girls would buy them. You know, they're all into that cutesy stuff. It'd be a craze,
cutesy
man.
Cutesy stuff.
nothing like a crazy wiener dog sweater at a soccer game.
So you're telling me you would be right there buying a jersey day one if they offered that?
Well, I'd probably go out and get a dog to buy one for, but, you know, at least I'd feel like I had some input.
Okay. Well, thanks for the input, Kevin.
All right. Have a good morning.
Wow. That's quite a name right there. I wonder what they can do. See, Joy texted in, would like KMOX to sponsor soccer shirt. They could put you and Mike's picture on it. Wow. That would be scary. You think they would want a picture of us on there? Maybe. Maybe not. Oh, just got a text message from friend of the show, Brad Young, who should not be up right now. What in the world is he doing up? Wait, to advertise, it's only $1 million to get your logo on the jersey? Purina, take advantage of that. Any of these companies need to do it immediately. I'm not saying $1 million is cheap. What I'm saying is if you're one of these international companies, I don't know if you could find a better way to market yourself than putting your logo on right in the front of a jersey that you know tens of thousands of people are automatically going to buy as soon as they name the franchise. What an opportunity there. Oh, $1 million, that's all it takes. Not bad. You know, we got some weird weather rolling through the area. We saw Denver and even CBS has been on top of it. And this is kind of interesting. I wanted to know what to expect here in St. Louis originally, that we were looking at thunderstorms, which kind of rolled through here in the afternoon, but it didn't seem as heavy as we saw over the last couple of days. This next storm that's coming through that we're going to see on Thursday is one we should be careful of. So earlier I had AccuWeather on. I thought this is worth repeating. We have some really wild weather headed our way. Joining us from AccuWeather, Carl Babinski. I'm glad you're able to join us here. How are you, Carl?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Good. So what are we looking at? I keep looking out the window. There were some storms. We're talking about flooding. Other areas of the United States as well getting really pounded. Some crazy storms coming through right now.
Yeah, well, the recent batch of showers with embedded storms that have moved through Missouri, they have pushed off to the east now. They're basically affecting southern Illinois and will be moving away from the area. But what you're alluding to is the fact that we are going to have some pretty intense wind gusts here tomorrow. Very deep low-pressure system. This has been referred to as the latest bomb cyclone. Mm. One a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, brought intense cold to the Midwest. But the latest bomb cyclone has formed over the Plain States, and it has caused blizzard conditions in Colorado. I believe what you're getting at is the fact that they've had blinding snow and wind gusts of close to 100 miles per hour earlier today in near Colorado Springs. So that same storm system, while the low pressure, the body of low pressure itself is expected to lift out to the north and east over the next 36 hours, here in St. Louis tomorrow, we are expecting some pretty intense wind gusts in excess of 50 miles per hour. So it could cause some damage, flying debris, that sort of thing. We do have the high wind watch, which has been posted for tomorrow.
What has that done for the temperatures? Is that going to sway it one direction?
It's actually going to be a very mild day tomorrow. We're not going to get the what they call in the southern plains the blue norther. A lot of the Texans refer to that as the vicious cold air associated with the north wind. Well, our wind is going to be more out of the west and southwest, so it's not going to be a windy and bitterly cold situation, but instead we'll be in the mid-60s tomorrow. But once the winds do start to calm or die down a bit tomorrow night, and especially Friday, then it'll be getting a bit colder. I can envision Friday's wind gusts being near 25 or maybe 30 miles per hour, and it'll only be in the mid-40s. So high winds gusting to near 55 miles per hour tomorrow with highs in the mid-60s. When it gets colder, it won't be quite as windy, but still a bit of a shock to the system, because whenever you have 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts and it's in the mid-40s, of course, it feels like it's in the low 30s. So there's about 35 degrees of separation between tomorrow's actual high and how cold it will feel on Friday.
Hmm. Carl Babinski, AccuWeather meteorologist, joining us here on KMOX. Did you say there's more chances of thunderstorms tomorrow on Thursday?
Well, Thursday, most of the thunderstorm activity will be occurring to the east, from the Tennessee Valley on up into Michigan. So, yeah, it's going to be a dry, windy scenario for Missouri and the entire listening area. But that corridor of strong storms earlier today, which impacted places like southern Arkansas and western Tennessee, that's going to be displaced a little bit farther to the east. So we need not worry about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and you were talking about the last time we saw this cycle come through. Is that the same one that brought the tornadoes to Alabama? Or is that a different
front? That was a different system, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Are there going to be any other weather fronts or anything we should be concerned about? Because you see some of these varying temperatures going from cold to hot to cold or whatever. Is that going to cause any problems maybe with tornadoes in some areas?
Well, the season is almost upon us. I think that over the next few weeks, obviously, there will be an uptick in tornadic activity. But after these high winds occur tomorrow, really just looking at a dry and cold scenario right through the upcoming weekend. So nothing I see imminent here over the next 3 or 4 days in the Plain States or anywhere in the Midwest. Things are going to quiet down somewhat, but it will be a lot chillier.
Can I tell you, I'm just going to bellyache for a moment. I hate coming in at night, because during the day, you get to the 60s, and then at night, it drops back down to the 30s or 40s. So I come in wearing a winter jacket, just like I normally do, and it doesn't make sense because, you know, by the time I leave, I need it, but the time I get in, I don't. I'm always mixed up. It's like it's sometimes I wish they can just pick a temperature and stay with it. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, or if you had a heated parking garage, you know, you never would have to worry about it. You just go right to your car, and you can drive without a coat, right?
Do you guys have a heated parking garage?
No.
Would that be
nice? But the dash from our building to the cars takes only about 23 seconds. So.
Oh, I see.
So even if I'm not wearing a coat and it's 20 degrees, you know, I'll deal. I can get over it.
So you might lose a hat.
Exactly.
Okay, Carl Babinski, AccuWeather meteorologist, thank you so much for joining us here on
KMOX. Absolutely.
I'm glad they do that.
Windy.
Watch your hats the next couple of days. Oh, producer Mike left that little bit on the end. We saved the interview from earlier. I talked to AccuWeather, but the information is still good. And that's why I wanted to include that. All right, so what do we got here? A couple minutes. Here's the thing. I got so much stuff in this pile, and sometimes the show gets a little sidetracked, so I get out of order some of the things I was going to talk about. I mean, is there something you want to bring up? I mean, I guess we could keep the phone lines open. Got the Better Together story. There's an opinion piece that was in the Riverfront Times. Maybe I'll read this real quick, because I thought Ray Hartman did a good job of this. Yeah, Ray Hartman did a good job. Says, do you believe in the benefits of big bureaucracies? No, I don't. So he does this whole piece, and he talks about how they unveiled this claim on February 19th that $4.9 billion can be cut from the government budgets based on merging the city and county, and there could be some benefits there. I think there was an independent audit in, I think they said not $4.9 billion, but upwards of a billion. So this is pretty lofty. 4.9 is pretty high. And in the ballots, November 2020, so over a year from now, statewide ballots, this will be on there. They're going to find a way to get it on. I'm not happy with the way this is laying out, and I don't think they're being honest with us in the way this proposal is laying out either. But here's what the Ray Hartman put out in his opinion piece. And said, hey, $4.9 billion isn't chump change. That's definitely ends justify the means money. It's certainly worth a look. But here's what I found. They just don't have the goods. There are no facts whatsoever to support the notion that forming the proposed Metro City will cut government costs at all, much less save billions and billions. So he's putting this point out. And I got to say, I'm pretty impressed by it. He says, Better Together is basing its projections on assumptions, not facts. Those assumptions are delivered from the predictions of city and county budget officials who, even setting aside biases and respecting expertise, have produced nothing more compelling than assigning an arbitrary alleged saving factor of 1% that would be an arbitrary 3%, less than percent of inflation, to present as its fiscal analysis. Says the Better Together officials believe it's common sense that if you take a city office that's performing a function and combine it with a county office that's performing the same function, it only stands to reason that some overlapping costs will be estimated. And this is the key to the opinion piece here in the Riverfront Times. Using real numbers, not assumptions, a wide range of academics who've studied this very topic. Here's what University of Illinois scholar mentioned, concluded that after an extensive review of real-world consultation efforts, Structural consolidation is often proposed as a quick fix when in fact it has weaker outcomes than advertised. The premise that a larger number of local governments is inherently bad and will result in increased taxpayer expense, lack of efficiency, or lack of responsiveness is not supported by available research on the issue. So they go on to mention this. They mention that, think of it this way. Just saying combining offices will save money doesn't necessarily mean that's true, mostly because it doesn't actually take into effect the effectiveness of the offices that you're combining. So let's say one county office is very effective in the way that they budget their money and they're very frugal or whatever it is, and one office isn't. You combine the two, and you still have one office that's wasteful, and even if you took one away, it doesn't have like a double savings. It's not like you're taking the one that's very loose with their money and saying, we're going to save that much money. It doesn't account for how much the other office you're closing actually spent on it. And who knows, maybe the other office is so much smaller and you're going to overestimate the savings on that one, or there's no savings at all. Essentially, if when you make a bigger government, it says big bureaucracies are inherently less efficient. So you take the little ones away and you add to the less efficient ones. It doesn't mean you're going to have a bunch of savings. In fact, you could end up spending more money before you know it. You're going to grow the inefficient office larger. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to all of a sudden get smarter in the way that you're spending money. And that's a great point. I think it is. It says, merging agencies doesn't change the amount of services that must be delivered. You must combine the city and county medical examiner offices, for example, but you're still examining the same number of dead bodies. Very true. So closing an office doesn't close the demand, right? Unless you try to lower the services you're offering. So unless Better Together, part of their plan is they're going to offer less services, then the numbers just don't add up. But on top of that, this is the bigger argument that they make. And I'll tell you, if you want to go check out this opinion piece by Ray Hartman, it's worth it. It says, Better Together savings claim is this. They could not, when asked, provide a single solitary specific financial fact regarding the centerpiece of their overall plan, combining all of the area's police departments into one. So do you still see this as a larger bureaucracy? with no provision for a civilian review board. And by the way, no answers either. The notion is completely reinventing policing in St. Louis is just one of the Better Together's pieces of the puzzle. But for now, it serves as the most compelling proof that the plan is hopelessly flawed. Bigger isn't necessarily better when it comes to the government. I think that's a great opinion piece by Ray Hartman. Well worth reading if you want to go check the whole thing. That was a Cliff Note version. I just did a couple of parts of it. This is Overnight America. And if you disagree with that, if you think, oh, no, absolutely, he's completely wrong, you tell me why. I'd like to hear it. It's KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. All right. Got about 20 minutes left of the show, so now we can keep things a little bit open. If you want to connect with all of America, this is how you do it. There was a story from Newsbusters. I really like Newsbusters. They do an excellent job breaking down different coverage of different news networks. And I thought they did an excellent piece about the Department of Justice. And earlier, you may have seen this story. You may not have seen this story. I'm going to play Fox News's portion of it. And the reason I'm going to do that is because all the major other news networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, decided not to cover this story. So a 370-page closed-door testimony from FBI lawyer and, remember, Peter Strzok's lover, Lisa Page, alleges the Obama Justice Department told the FBI not to charge Secretary Hillary Clinton. Okay? So you have the President of the United States obstructing justice to the FBI and telling them not to charge a certain person. For the last 2 years, all the major news networks, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, all of them that have been covering Donald Trump have gone out of their way, and they've done some pretty big gymnastics to try to make it look like Donald Trump directly is impacting the investigation, the Mueller investigation. All of this stuff has been running fully independent of him, constantly independent from him. None of this stopped. Nothing was obstructed, but still every day on their news. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say every day they bring something up about this. And when there's actual evidence and testimony, sworn testimony brought up, they completely ignore it when it happened, when there's evidence that the Obama administration and President Obama himself took part in it. So why would they ignore that? Why wouldn't they bring this sort of thing up? There's a huge bias when it comes to reporting in the news. I don't understand people that don't see this. I just don't understand it. Here, let me, I'm going to play this report because Fox was the only one to actually cover this.
During closed-door testimony last summer, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page said the Obama administration's Justice Department advised the FBI not to pursue the gross negligence statute for Hillary Clinton in the mishandling of classified information. Former U.S. Attorney and House Republican John Ratcliffe led the line of questioning about the statute, known as 18 U.S.C. 793. Ratcliffe, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors. Page interrupted. That is correct.
Okay, so did you catch that? So the question was, you make it sound like you were directed by the Obama administration and President Obama himself had his hands in this. You're making it sound like they directed you to do a certain thing when it came to your investigation. And she said, that's exactly what happened. They were directed not to do their job or not to come to their own conclusions, but you had the White House telling them what to do when it came to this investigation. He's the leader of the Democrat Party. This is damaging for the person that's running as the Democrat in the presidential election. This is totally inappropriate. And for the 2 years that they've been banging this drum on President Trump, which we haven't seen any evidence of, this is actual evidence of them doing something totally inappropriate. And they don't even mention it. It wasn't on when the story broke that night, and they didn't cover it the morning after either.
Page's testimony appears to conflict with then-FBI Director James Comey's recommendation in July 2016 against criminal charges for Clinton.
What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear.
The Republican...
Not according to... Page there, Lisa Page. Not according to her. So I wonder who's telling the truth here. Not that Comey is all that reliable. Not that Page is all that reliable. Could one of them be true? Could she be lying? Here's the thing. If it was someone in the Trump administration, they'd be on this 24/7. Is that deniable?
Republican-led House Oversight and Judiciary Committee investigation ended in January. With Democrats now in control, the committee's new ranking Republican made the Page transcript public.
The transcript releases show an inherent two-tier system, one in which Hillary Clinton gets the treatment that she got, where they was actually at first concerned that they were going to charge her, and then with Loretta Lynch in charge before she recused herself, made it very clear that that was not going to happen.
The tip-off came from a chart drawn up by federal investigators assigned to the Clinton case known as Mid-Year Sam. Fox News has confirmed that the chart listed possible federal statutes for prosecution. Next to gross negligence was a notation, quote, DOJ not willing to charge this. Only known cases are military. Cases when accused lost the information. In response to the Page revelations, the president tweeted the transcripts, quote, make the Obama Justice Department look exactly like it was, a broken and corrupt machine.
The Page transcript also confirms Fox's earlier reporting. The Page testified Russia collusion was still unproven when special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed.
You know, we had to play the Fox coverage of this. We had to. Fox News was the only one that covered this thing. Isn't that something? To say that all of the three major broadcast networks decided to pass on this story. When you hear that, do you think, oh, that's not worth mentioning, considering how much attention has been given to this very topic, to what's going on now? What was I listening to? I forgot who I was listening to earlier. There was a talk show host that was talking about this and was trying to come up with the reasoning, the logic. Why in the world would they squash something like this? And it's not that Hillary Clinton is above the law, is what they said. It's they've been in the game long enough, and essentially, if you actually go through with charges against a Hillary Clinton, then there's no telling what would happen when you light that powder keg. There could be a million other things to go off, and it would be one of the worst things that the Democrats could possibly do to self-implode themselves. They thought this would be the best way for them to win the White House. Hide, deny, go through and cheat, whatever it was. It doesn't matter. They thought this was going to be the way and ends justify the means. And boy, did they get flipped, turned upside down. Wouldn't you like to see the networks handle this the same way? And for anyone that thinks that the news networks are handling their coverage of President Trump the same way that they handled President Obama, there's not a chance. No one came even close to covering the corruption that we're seeing now unfold in itself in the same ferocity that they're seeing that when it comes to President Trump. And you know what? They don't even need to confirm anything. They'll just run with rumors and call it news and get called out over and over and over again. There is a lot of validity when it comes to calling out these networks as fake news. And there's a lot of reasons because we've seen it play out over and over and over again. But they didn't run fast and loose during the Obama administration, and they missed and they hid, and they probably did it as a way to protect. And it's a direct showing of their own biases when it comes to these old stories. But even when, after he's out of office, they're still continuing to show these biases. This is a legit news story that was completely ignored. I don't know how you can see it any other way. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
Kind of weird to watch this play out. I watched Full House growing up. Lori Loughlin. What? How could this be? What should happen to her? KCBS was there in Los Angeles reporting on her going in and posting bail.
Loughlin was here at the federal courthouse to answer for these charges. She was given a $1 million bond. She was shooting a movie out of the country. The judge said she can still leave to shoot that movie, but she is facing some very serious legal jeopardy.
Wait, are they mowing the lawn? They're already mowing the lawn over on the... I guess it's always mowing lawn weather for them. Really? Let's see. College admissions bribery. Are they still mowing when he when Tom Waite, reporter for KCBS-TV in Los Angeles, was at the federal courthouse. Were they still mowing when he put this report in?
Whether or not Laughlin or any of the other defendants will face jail time is very unclear at this point. It's very early in all of this, but legal analysts say because this case is so high profile and so much public interest is in it, it's very possible these folks could spend some time in prison.
Wow. I don't know how you can spend prison time for this. I understand it's a pretty serious crime. This doesn't seem like a prison sentence type of crime. So she's doing a movie overseas. Is it a Hallmark movie? I guess she's continuing on with her life. They didn't drop her out of the movie with the controversy around it. Ah, man. Do you know all the words to the Full House song? I posted this up earlier. If you haven't seen it, go on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. Let's see if we can get the lyrics better this time. You ready?
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. You miss your old familiar friend. Waiting just around the bend. Everywhere you look and rest, there's a heart that your heart belongs to. Everywhere you look, everywhere you look, something, somebody who needs you. It's out there and you're all alone. Ryan is waiting to carry you home.
Everywhere
overnight, America.
Shoo-ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
Oh, I say we did a pretty good job of that. Yeah, it was producer Mike from earlier. Pretty good. Pretty good. If you want to get a version of that, you can listen to it on your computer. Just go to Twitter, at Ryan Recker, and it's right there on top. It was the last thing I posted on Twitter. I just think that's funny. You know, you want to hear something strange? So they were doing a medical marijuana conference here in St. Louis. I don't know. I didn't follow it all that much. But what I decided to do last night was, listen to Kevin Killeen. He did a whole other story on it. You want to know what the weird thing was? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of those things. But man, was I craving Taco Bell last night. And I thought, I wonder if that whole medical marijuana got in my mind. And I thought, I got the munchies late at night. Where did that come from? Never that happens. Kevin did a great job because here, when you start to see some of the states that pick up the medical side of things, you also find that they use that as a step to get to the next step, which could be recreational. And you know, it's weird because we might as well be recreational. I don't want it to be, but with the prosecutors in the county and the prosecutors in the city completely turning the blind eye for anything that's found that's, what was it, 100 grams or something like that. You can have $1,000, $1,500 worth of marijuana found on you and they'll not take the case up against you. It's ridiculous. It goes well beyond personal use and they just ignore these things. It's so ridiculous. So I think they're trying to find back-end ways to justify just making it recreational without changing the law. But Kevin Killeen was there. He wanted to know, is that the next step? Here's a whole other story.
The people at the marijuana conference seemed very earnest, very sincere about their products.
CBD is cannabidiol. It's good for your brain, your spine, and skin and everything else.
How do we know that? That's what people want to know. Is it real or is it like patent medicine?
If you look up NIH.com or .gov, National Institute of Health, there's so many different testing and samples that they've done on there.
Oh, yes. I know plenty of stories. I have friends that has had cancer and their medicine had made them sick until they was on their deathbed, didn't have an appetite. And so they tried marijuana. They was completely against marijuana. And they tried marijuana, and then they instantly have an appetite. And now they're up walking around healthy.
You're with infused edibles?
Yes.
These are like gummy bears, things you can eat?
Yes, they're infused candies. We have oils. We also have dog treats, cat treats.
How do the dogs act afterwards?
It has a calming effect.
So if they bark a lot, throw them one of those. Huh?
That's right.
We are actually a 3D printing self-watering planters. We have our posy pot.
3D printing self-watering planter?
Yes, 3D printed self-watering planter.
Does your mother know about all this?
Yes, she does.
What does she think about this? You're sort of on the periphery of the marijuana industry.
Yes, I think that it has.
Did she ever tell you not to use marijuana?
Of course she does.
And now you're helping people grow it.
I am helping people get well. I am helping people live a better quality of life.
I couldn't help wondering if any in the crowd were using marijuana, but the cashier at the cafeteria told me demand for food was routine. Nobody seemed to have the munchies. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
No one seemed to have the munchies. Isn't that funny? I love Kevin Killeen's whole other stories. He does a great job with it. I got a couple other stories here. I might as well. Got a couple minutes. I follow these artificial intelligence stories mostly because that's the big trend in technology. There's a story not that long ago. I think it was on CBS or whatever. They were talking about how China's catching up to the United States when it comes to artificial intelligence. I don't know if you know this, but there's actual technology out there to predict if you're going to break the law. So that sounds like Minority Report. If you remember that Tom Cruise movie in the 2000s, the idea was there were these three people, I guess, that could kind of see the future. So they hooked them up into this little baby pool and they would put these kind of like these helmets on them and it could help read their mind, and then they could predict if a crime was going to happen, and then the crew would go in and they would be able to try to stop the crime before it happened. If they can get there in time, they'd have to use the visual clues to figure out who and where and things like that. There's a Japanese startup and they're using this technology already, developed artificial intelligence software to hunt for potential shoplifters using footage from security cameras. So if you have a business and you have already the cameras built into your business where you're watching people or whatever it is, they could implement this software to the video footage you're already recording. And then it would put a little red flag up, a little alarm, and it would say, hey, this person's looking suspicious. Maybe they're about to steal from you. So it turns out the technology is pretty good at finding shoplifting behavior, whatever that means. It says, we look at it as an important step closer to a society where crime can be prevented through artificial intelligence. Shoplifting, they say, caused the global retail industry about $34 billion in lost sales in 2017. Wow. It says, if we go into many retailers, whether in the U.S. or the U.K., there are very often have these camera systems already built up. That being said, they don't have to sell them on the video system itself. That's not, you know, that's the big expense. They've already gone through the big expense. They just need to upsell them to buy this special technology that goes into it. Several big name stores in Japan have already deployed this technology in some form or the other, so it's already out there. Makes you wonder. There was a story the other day about the big airports across the United States are actually putting in the facial recognition already. So if you walk in, they already know if you are someone that they would want to stop and talk to, or a person that would be worth searching or whatever it may be. So they're using this technology. Some people like this technology. They like the idea of the technology because they feel it is less biased than if it was just some random worker that was doing it. But still, it's probably not going to put aside the fears that some people have. Let's see, what makes AI-based shoplifting detection a straightforward proposition is the fact that most of the hardware is already in place. This was over at Bloomberg the other day. If you want to go check out the full article at Bloomberg.com. All right, don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download it for free. If you want to go listen to that song, the Full House Karaoke, you can. You can listen to it on loop. Hey, put it on your iPod or whatever. Listen to it in the car on a loop over and over and over and over again. You can find it at KMOX.com/overnight, a very easy place for you to get it. Absolutely free. We post this audio up for you because we like that you go out and download this sort of thing. I always like to go online and see the tons of people that go and consume this after the show. You can also find it on your favorite podcasting app, whatever that favorite podcast app may be. Is it possible that it is the iTunes app? Sure, you can do it there. You can do it on the Android phone. They have these apps built in. If you don't know what app it is, you can actually download the radio.com app. That's also free. Just search Overnight America when you get there. We'll be back again tonight, technically, after Blues hockey. Sleep well. We'll see you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.